And when it has created life, as it is working, do you understand? As it is developing at each stage in life, it shows you what to do new. And you will discover it as long as the sons of oil are pouring the oil of God into your life. This is why God gave preachers. In this life, this world today, there are so many jokers out there. We have to keep praying for the body of Christ so that as to purge the sin. Because the truth is that the power for the Christians to perform comes from the word that is pushed into their lives by the gifts that God has given the body of Christ. I hope you get my point. They don't just teach principles. That's my emphasis. The impact was life. So it's so difficult. That's why the Bible is not full of, especially the whole New Testament. Paul starts saying things that really makes no sense. And it demands you believe them. He's now understand that, listen, he's not trying to teach you principles. He's trying to do what? Impact life. So God will come and say, a father of many nations, I have made you. What are you supposed to do? Say, believe it. Then I'll give you work to do as works of faith. That is, what are the things? What are works of faith? Things that keep you busy so you don't lose hope. Because when people lose hope, they've detached from faith by so doing. Therefore, that word cannot come to pass for them. So God says, look, I'm going to make Abraham a father of many nations. I'm going to make him a great man. So what do I do meanwhile? Give the man farming to farm. Give him a household to run. Give him things to do. So the man is there doing business, multiplying animals, moving from here to the other, just keeping life going until God had developed in him the spiritual ability to carry Isaac. And then one day Isaac was born. And he said, a father of many nations, I have made you. Then he teaches Abraham how to handle Isaac. He teaches Abraham what to teach Isaac. Why? So that Isaac will be able to tap that power for the next generation. And that's it. Each generation is supposed to just learn how to tap the power, because what God is infusing is what? Life. Please, you know, I'm just going to use that marriage as an example. For us to understand, it's not principles. Let's get back to what I'm going to explain. This issue of going and possess the land I'm talking about. Nobody is teaching principles. No, listen, there are no principles that are so strong and firm, physical principles now, that anybody can hold on to and say, this is a source. This is how we do it. Those people who say that, in ministry, they want to go somewhere and learn how to build a 1 million man church. You know my opinion of it. How let's laugh. They're not going to learn anything. The only thing you can do, let me tell you something. The only thing you can do is to receive inspiration. Inspiration is more powerful than that information. Yeah, inspiration. For you to just look and say, this is possible. That alone changes your life. I don't know what I heard I said. For you to just look and say, this is possible. That alone changes your ability. Otherwise, you cannot go to South Korea and go and learn how to build a 1 million man church. No. It does not happen like that in spiritual things. What God does is pour a spirit inside you. And then you cooperate with that spirit, because for each expression in life, there is something different that God is trying to bring out, and there is a new method he's going to use. So I use the marriage as an example. Having been married all these years, I discovered that only God could have come up with such a dangerous idea. And only him could have released the ability to make it good. And nobody should try and learn any principle of Christian marriage except the fellow is having an infusion of the oil of God into the place. That oil of God is not tangible. It's not something you can describe. It's an impartation that enters into you as you connect through words. Words are like the electrical cable that taps the current. The current itself, you can't describe. Are you getting my point? The current itself, you can't measure it. That is, You can't handle it. The current itself, you don't know what it looks like, but you know what it does. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know what it does. Electric current is interesting. Have you noticed it? It does all kinds of things. Right here is giving illumination in these stage lights that we have all over the place. Just right behind there, the same electric current is cooling a place. This morning, the same electric current in my house heated my bread in a toaster. Are you getting my point? The same electric current creates motion. The fan is around you there, it's moving. The same electric current is transmitting my sound, converting it and storing it on storage devices. If somebody listening to this through a device, the same electric current, can you see everywhere it goes? That is what the Bible calls life. That is what the Bible calls what?
Life.
So what we do, listen, words that we listen to, that we pay attention to, it transmits life. It doesn't transmit principles. No. If we learn principles, is there things we learn so as to get ourselves out of the way? He said, make a straight path for the Lord in the wilderness. Then the glory will be what? Automatically revealed. Except oil is being poured into your life. Listen, there is no principle you can learn and make success of life. There's none. Just look at them and say, you are searching the scripture. I think you need to find that. He said, no. The scriptures describe the source of life. The source of life is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why, listen, no matter how much he tries. Somebody said, how do you know TB is not the true man of God? I said, just sit down there and listen to him. If you feel the entrance of life into you, I've seen people, I just sit down before. It's happened. I'll just sit down. A man is just talking. I remember one man. One of us going to Enugu. I told my wife, this guy is not. I said, this guy is fake. My wife said, do you know? I said, I can't explain it. But just listen to him. This fellow is fake. He had a church. He comes to release the word of God. Well, maybe because of spiritual sensitivity, I just sit down and say, this guy is not releasing the smallest dose of life. Listen, if I come now and give you a battery, I say it's fully charged, and you put one wire here, put one, touch each other, it does not produce any spark. You don't need anybody to tell you that the battery is dead. He just said, look, I can't feel anything here. You wake up in the morning, you try to start your car. You hear click, click. It's not turning. You go there. You don't need to tell you. The battery is dead. You get another battery. Doing all kinds of funny miracles to try and improve. Listen. He said, how do you know? All I needed to do was to sit down and hear the man quote. He'll go and memorize Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and be pouring out the words. But the words are empty. You hear the words, they are empty. They are dropping bang, 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 nothing. Empty words. Listen, I'm preaching about the power of life. That's what I'm explaining. That nobody is teaching principles. I am not here to teach you. These are the steps by which a believer, somebody will make success financially in life. No. What I have come to preach, what I am preaching to you, is that there is a grace, there is a power. All this, you're paying attention to what I'm saying, is opening your life, let me use that expression, for the force, the power, the ability of God to flow into you. Amen. Listen. There was no... Let me tell you something about David. When David saw Goliath, I don't know how, but the man just knew he was going to get Goliath. Now, let me tell you something. Goliath no be my own. You know the way we say it. Goliath was not an easy man. First, we have from the scriptures testimony that he was a warrior from his youth. He was an experienced warrior. Saul said to David, this man has been a warrior from his youth. Goliath was enough to make Saul remain in his tent. Abner did not come out. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, go and read the Bible. Abner, I think by that time, was it Saul's chief of army staff by that time? I think he was, Abner. David has some men with him, all right? Later on, which were men like Joab. What's the name of Joab's brother? Abishai. There's another one. I think the youngest of the three. Do you know one day that one was chasing Abner? Abner told him, oh boy, leave me. Go and fight somewhere else. That one wouldn't stop. Abner killed him without looking back. Go and read your Bible. These were David's toughest men. Abner killed him with the back of a spear. That was why Joab killed him later. Which offended David. Because he said he shed the blood of war in the time of peace. He's a tough man. Yet, they saw Goliath. They remained in their tent. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Then, a small boy showed up. The moment he saw Goliath, he said, I'm taking this man down. This is what I'm convinced about. He has started blabbing. You must understand David. David, as Alice, he was a typical young man. Very impulsive. When the lion took his beer, his lamb, David did not think about it. He ran after it to collect his property. And he was not looking for a fight. He said it clearly, I just want what is my own. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Assuming you're going on, maybe thieves came and raided your neighborhood. You were not there. They removed your laptop. You now found where the thieves were gathered. Armed though, with knives and guns. You now get there, knock on their door. Hey, who's that? You open the door, say it's me. What are you looking for? You are a thief. You stole my laptop. Let me have it. I don't know whether I get the point. These guys are carrying guns and knives and you're not carrying anything. That was just exactly what David did. Then as he took his laptop and he was about to go, one of the thieves removed a gun or brought a knife, are you getting my point now, and attacked this David. David now said, well, since you asked for the trouble, I just came. The next thing, the man had turned himself to Jet Li. Are you getting what I'm saying? Had blocked the knife, deflected the gun from the man's hand, and then kicked the guy in the neck. And the guy, his trachea is crushed. He dies. He said, please, I just want my laptop. That was precisely what David did to the lion. Now, you say, what am I talking about? I'll tell you. How did he kill the lion? Before the lion attacked him, he had no idea how he would. It was when the lion attacked, the guy realized that, listen, I'm fighting for my life here. Then the wisdom of God to tackle that lion came into him. The same thing. Goliath was making noise. How can this guy be making noise? I will handle him. How are you going to do it? They gave him a spear, and he had no plan at that point. He said, oh, okay, this one is too heavy. I can't use it. He dropped it. As he was dropping, he was calculating. Then suddenly he understood how he would take the man down. He didn't learn how to sling that day. He didn't learn that day. He said, this one, I'll use a slingshot. Go and check. He didn't use that against the lion. He didn't use it against the bear. That's how they could turn on him. It was after they turned on him. When somebody is on you, that's not when he starts slinging. They say, wait, move back. Let me stone you. You don't do that. What am I going to say? That method he used for Goliath, he did not know that method until that point. It did not fit anybody else apart from Goliath. So after I made noise, I'm going to take the man that he looked and say, how do I handle this man? Going down, he's going down. There's no problem about it. He's going to go down. But how? Then the Holy Spirit said, look at his head. He said, oh, that portion is not covered by his helmet. That would be a good target. That was why I quickly went, look for 5 stones. And the guys looked at, no, for that range, I don't need more than 5 shots. One will hit. And the first one hit. This was wisdom that came upon him at that moment. There are 2 things I'm trying to bring out. First, the first one is that what gave him that boldness and that confidence? It was a spirit. What did I call it? There was a spirit that he had. That's the first thing I want to bring out. And that is what this preaching is impacting into anybody paying attention to it. I hope you're getting my point. That spirit that makes you get up, say, I'm going to be a governor in this state. Say, you, any political experience? He said, no. And you still want to be governor? Say, watch me. How are you going to do it? I'll tell you tomorrow. Because right now, I don't know. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Sometimes that man starts his political career. He said, is it not form? Eh? Did they kill for if you take a form? No, I obtained a form. Fill the form, I put it in. Then God starts giving him wisdom. Starts mobilizing things for him. Before you know what's happening, he wins a gubernatorial election. Now becomes another story to tell. How did he do it? Then they will now write a book and teach the next generation on the method that the man who used it did not know before he used it. And those ones will go to school and say, these are the methods for winning against giants. Every Goliath after that understood that this is your head. Bind it very well. Because this nation of Israel, they have some dangerous people that stone. After that, stoning didn't work again. I hope you remember for it. It didn't work again. It did not work again. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. The first thing I'm trying to bring out is that what gave him that spirit is the infusion of the power of the spirit to the ministration of the sons of oil. That was the thing that gave him that spirit. And number two, is what I'm talking about. As he was using that spirit, the spirit of wisdom starts manifesting. The spirit of favor. God starts mobilizing people. Go and help that man. Go and see how David became king in Israel. Men who fought for Saul, they came. Look, we don't have time to go through the story in the book of Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles. They will sit down there and tell David what they can do. Men will come and say, I am a commander of thousands. See these thousand men, they do whatever I say. And each one of them can kill Goliath. So David will say, what do you want? I want to be in your army. Come in. I make you a major. That one says, yes, sir. That's it. David's army kept on growing, the Bible says, until he became like the army of God. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, the victory that we are scoring as believers is not method. I hope you get my point.
Yes, sir.
It's not method. I'm talking about going in and taking the land. It is a power of the Spirit. The only way you will make it, the only way you will be sustained in it, listen to me, is by paying attention to the flow of the oil. I feel sorry for Christians who get very busy and they don't have time for the word of God because they've begun to prosper. You must understand that this is the source. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? This is what is taking you to where you are going. You take the, look, it's not method. You didn't come to church to learn methods. So you can't say, I have learned it. You can't say, I have learned it. Listen, let me give you advice. Let's talk about divine healing. There is a book God has given us, all of us, to read. Now, when I say book, now I know the Bible is our core. Are you getting my point? That is, but the impartation of the Spirit. Hey, I don't want to say something so it won't sound blasphemous. Those people read the Bible, and Jesus said to them, you are reading the scriptures because you think. And it was implying that they were erroneous, that in it you will find life. He said that is supposed to describe to you where to find life. Life is in me, Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? That it's not just about reading the scriptures. It's about using the scriptures to contact life that is in Christ. That is very deep. It's very wide. I don't even fully understand it. But one thing I can tell you, in today's world that God has given us today, that scripture is your testing ground for you, for you to know the kind of spirit to expose yourself to. You can't just say, I'm a believer. I have my Bible. I've never seen a good, successful Christian that lives like that. So all I need is a Bible. It's a lie. If all you needed was a Bible, why did the same Bible say, don't forsake the assembly together of brethren? If all you needed was a scripture, why did Paul say, I want to come to you to impart a spiritual gift to you? He had the scrolls. They had the scrolls. Why did they need him? If all in there was the Bible, why did he say, Timothy, you have a gift inside you that was placed inside you by the laying on of my hands? Listen, There are things that, look, you can't just sit at home and say, I've read my Bible. Now, lie. The Bible is your number one. It's your, let me put it like this. It's your safety manual. It's your reference library. So that not every nonsense spirit is thrown into you. Are you getting my point? When a man wants to pour a spirit into your life, he says, hey, wait. Say it again. He says, I'm coming. Before I say amen, let me go home. The things this guy said, where is it? He said, okay. He's telling the truth. Say it again. He says, amen. Then the spirit that guy was sending. Oh. Listen. If you are alone on an island and nobody is there to impart a spirit into you, then God starts raising you up to become a life-giving spirit yourself. But he has to raise you up. In this life, I was saying something earlier. I've looked around. I'm not 100%. I'm not the only one that's accurate on this. There are many preachers. There are many other people that can speak. But on this one, I can tell you, I have looked around. If you want to walk in perfect health as a believer in this generation, please grab Kenneth Hagin and listen to him all the time. Ignore things you don't agree with. You don't like his accent, go and learn his accent. Some people say, no, I don't like these foreign preachers. I can't hear them. Were you born hearing anybody? Those days when I would go home and play someone like Kenneth Hagin, my mother would say, oh boy, come. Are you telling me this man is speaking English? And that you are hearing what he's saying. And I'm like, yes, I can hear everything he's saying. She just shake her head. Now, wow. She will listen again. Say, you are certain this man is speaking English. I'm going to say, I can't hear what he's saying at all. I say, it's English. Of course, because of the American and Texas accent that the man has. But what do? We learn it. Good enough, he has books. We read his books. And listen, my own experience now is that every time the man speaks, every time he speaks, he told a testimony of a woman who listened to him for six months or 18 months. At the end of the period, she was born without feet. The new feet grew out. The man will give a testimony of people giving up to die from cancer. That he began to just teach the word of God. So it took me a while, but I got her totally healed. When I hear testimonies like that, forget it though. I don't get the argument. You can call the man all kinds of names. I take the messages and I pour it into my head. He's not 100% accurate in everything. There are things he says, and we have carried to another level. Not because he's wrong, but of course nobody knows everything. And after listening to him, we should be able to carry this thing beyond that level now. Then we'll move up to another level. But he's a book. He's one of my sons of all. Oh boy, pour grace into my life. That is, pour it. Pay attention. There's a spirit of understanding that some men have. Look now. You have read the Bible. Listen, I am not bragging, all right? This is just how life is. Some of you read the Bible for a long time. You didn't know anything until you met me. Yes, sir. Is it truth?
Yeah, that's
true. So I've heard people say that, okay, when you read the Bible, sometimes we check our own, whether it's the same version. I mean, it's just life. Don't think it's a method I used to teach you. It's a spiritual. It's just because we interacted. I told you, the first day I went to Covenant Christian Center in Lagos, Pastor Poddy was teaching. When the man first finished teaching, one session of teaching, I went home, grabbed the Bible, and Isaiah, for the first time in life, it made sense beyond Isaiah 53. The only part of it that made sense before was 53. Why? Because that was the one Pastor Kenneth Hagin and Co. taught from. Then I went to Covenant Christian Center and Pastor Poju began to talk. Talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. He said that the gospel that the prophets prophesied, he said the gospel was not preached in the New Testament, it was preached in the Old. That the New Testament is only the key with which we decode what the prophets prophesied. I said, Jesus is Lord. Oh. I ran back home, grabbed my Bible. I said, Isaiah, come here. Isaiah said, you are welcome. I've been here. So then I began to read, it began to open. Until that day, listen, you read a man like John G. Lake. Between John G. Lake and Kennedy Hagin, the two of them, you read them, you pay attention to them. There is a reality of the spiritual realm that comes into your eyes. There are men you will finish reading and interacting with. You start, I don't mean as a joke, I mean literally. You will start seeing angels around. There are men. They're not trying to show you principle of how to open your eye when you are praying, quickly open it so that the angel before it runs. Because when we're young, they tell things like that to happen. No, they're not teaching any method. And they're not telling you, try and see angels. They're just telling you about the realm of the spirit, real things. They'll be teaching as they are teaching, a spirit is entering into you. Next time an angel wants to pass, they say, oh boy, I see you. I'm not kidding. Things like that happen. You just see a man crossing the road. You just stop. You just follow and say, this fellow, I know you. You are an angel. And you see him cross the road and disappear. I say, hey, I knew. Why? You learned an ability? No. You interacted with men that poured a kind of spirit into you. When we're talking about overcoming, that winning in the land, taking the land, we're not talking about methods. We are saying that by the time we finish talking, are you getting my point? Ability to succeed. That's what we're talking about. It will come to you. Fear will run. Sometimes we are making all kinds of decisions, running up and down the whole world looking for success. It's not like they are wicked people. Before I used to argue, now I don't argue. I understand that they have not been impacted with what I have eaten. The people that poured, I remember those who met Bishop Oyedepo. There is nobody that saw Bishop for the first time that was not shocked at his size. Because when Bishop Oyedepo is talking, you think he's a giant. Because when the man finishes talking to you, he pours a giant spirit inside you. That is, you'll be walking on the road like this. A trailer will be coming and say, my friend, stop. You will have told the trailer, stop, before you realize that the guy can crush you. But the fact is that he couldn't crush you with that kind of hand you put up. I had never seen that kind of spirit of boldness until I met Bishop Oyedepo. The man is ministering like this, will be staring at him like a spirit. Every gesticulation made sense. When Bishop does like this, you feel bold. Jesus is like, said the thing entered me so strong. He makes statements. He's like, what? What did you say? But you believe it. He said, if I were a woman, I wouldn't need a man to get pregnant. He's also, and when he's explaining, he said, listen, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed, and it doesn't sound like this. I don't know how to say it. There's something will just enter your body. I now understand what Paul meant when he said, I want to come to Rome and impart a spiritual gift to you. We are overcoming by the power of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. If you are going to overcome and succeed in it and continue in life a victor, it is by the flow of the oil from the sons of oil. In this life, God has given you sons of oil. They're all over the place. What are you doing on Facebook? Who's facing you? Listen. If you are not in a group where people are shooting the word of God to you regularly, get out. They're not helping you succeed. You have only 24 hours. God will not multiply the time for you. He says, reallocate the time. Let me know what you're doing with your time. I like to get practical. Listen. You want to learn the word of divine health? You want to learn the word of miracles? Say, who are the sons of oil that are pouring this thing out? Pick up their material. In fact, I like modern day. The words are powerful. Put it over your ears. Lie down at night before you sleep. Let 15 minutes drop inside. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, for their life to those who find them, and medicine to their whole body. Health to their whole body. The first word is what? Attend. 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 It's not, I don't like this preacher. Who cares who you like? When you are sick and there's one doctor, you say, I don't like that doctor. It's who will bring healing we're talking about. I feel like just explaining that. If you are believing God for divine, you can't. Listen, believers. We are called believers because we actively believe in something. You can't believe except you have information. Are you getting my point? It's only when the word has entered into you can discuss whether you are believing or not believing. I'm telling you, look, the path to succeed in this life, this victory, we say go in and take the land. We're not talking about, these are the methods. You wake up and do like this. You wake up and do like that. No. We say pay attention. All this our discussion is so that the spirit can enter. And when the spirit has entered, listen, gives the kind of boldness, you start bidding for contracts. People will think you are mad. I don't know where I get my point. They will think you are crazy. They say, who's bidding against you? They will say, Strabag. You look at, did you say Strabag? Say, yes, you, bidding against Strabag. And you are wondering, what is wrong with you? Why are you in your tent? Why don't you come out and face Goliath? I don't know, are you getting my point? You're like, why are you afraid? Is Strabag God? That's your own mentality. They say, it's a Goliath. Says so. Then when you have said you have been here, I say, and they now leave. After they leave, say, what do I do? Suddenly, God wakes you up at night, start giving you ideas, things to say that the most experienced engineer, the most experienced project manager in Strabag has never thought of. He said, behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. The day of presentation, what project have you done before? You mentioned one or two small projects you've done. And they're like, you think you can handle this? When you start talking, a spirit will enter into that place. We are spiritual people. I don't know. You get my point? Listen. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Men will sit down there. When they hear your presentation for 30 minutes, they will almost be trembling. They will look at each other like Pharaoh. And they will say, can we find one as wise and as discreet as this one is? Sin than him dwells the spirit of the gods. He said he doesn't have enough experience. He said, look, but the way he has spoken, we have never heard anybody talk like this. You know, when people saw Jesus for the first time, they knew he came from somewhere different. Say, we have never heard anybody talk like this one. I finished preaching somewhere. One man came up to me. He said, now I understand how the apostles must have felt when Jesus was teaching them directly. These are real manifestations. That's what I'm telling you. The problem is that we've been competing with people of the world. Who do I know on the board? Hey, my uncle's friend is the chairman of the committee. We have not settled at home and gotten infused with the power of the oil. Are you getting my point? There is a wisdom in heaven that God has kept for you. He said he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. There are words you will speak. Listen to me. When you first come in, they will laugh. Look at him. He said, are you the one your MD sent? He said, I am the MD. They start laughing. It already shows that you are small. Are you getting my point? Yes, but then, when you open your mouth for the first time, After the first sentence, everybody sits up. 30 minutes later, they are enraptured. You finish presentation, you know you have won when the chairman starts clapping. No, these are real things, words, spirit. Hey, I remember the first time I heard Pastor Kwoju preach. May 18th, 1997. I read some of the articles he wrote. I entered the church. The church looked a bit like this, you know, a small place. All of them looked young. They were mostly men, like here. I said, who is the pastor? They all looked alike. You know, no wonder they had to kiss Jesus for them to know who was who. I tried to identify who this man who I read his writings is in this place. I couldn't identify him. I saw one guy come out of an office and go back inside there. He was wearing a shirt, a white shirt, a black pair of trousers, and a simple tie. I said, no, maybe it's not him. Then he came out and sat on a chair that was slightly different from the other ones. It was not a big chair, but the chair was different. So I said, that must be the fellow. I said, eh. So I left everything to come and hear this guy. Fine, we are here. No problem. Then he came up the pulpit and began to preach. He said, we have been speaking about this inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. And once he started like this, and the righteousness of faith. Once it started, I said, these are the same things we learned in school. I said, righteousness by faith. We know it now. No be Kenyon. You know that kind of thing. No be Hagen. He made another statement. By the time he made the third statement, I sat up. He went, who shall change our vile body that it might be conformed to the body of it? I sat straight. He was thinking that there was a seed. The seed, if body is fashioned according to the kind of seed that God is going to place inside it. So you see, there is a seed. I was trying to write. The man was talking so fast, I couldn't write. So I tapped the man in front of me. I said, sir, is this on tape? He said, yes. I dropped my Bible, dropped my paper, and dropped my pen. No, I was holding the pen, and I was listening to him preach. He preached. I bent my pen. I was about to break it because of tension. I said, this thing will snap. In church, they will notice I released the pen. This guy spoke for 2 hours, 20 minutes. At the time, I almost shouted, sir, please wait. Let me breathe. But the man wouldn't stop. 2 hours, 20 minutes later, he finally stopped the barrage. He was shooting ignorance, shooting nonsense out of my life. Why did I tell the story? When I first walked in and I saw him, he hardly looked older than I was. Just a little. And of course, I found out later, just a little few years older than I am. I said, eh? But when he opened his mouth, God gave him a mouth and a wisdom that changed my ability to interpret scriptures from that day. The message is titled The Inheritance Inside the New Man. Listen, forget what you look like. People say dress properly. It's good. You know I believe in dressing well. All you need to do is follow me small. You know this guy likes to dress well. The Lord is good. It's not the key to success. It's not. A naked Adam, if he did not go into the process of falling, will stand before any committee, they won't notice the bro is not wearing dress. They won't notice he's not wearing pata. They will not notice. Because of the glory that we overshadow. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is how we succeed. That is how we break through. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to pour a spirit of excellence, a spirit of success, a spirit of victory, a spirit of the overcomer, a spirit of David, the kind of spirit that faces Goliath and knocks Goliath down and makes us controllers and kings and priests on this earth. I hope you've got my point. I hope you followed me today. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, send to me my sons of oil. Open my eyes to understand. For the anointing to overcome. For the anointing to prosper. For the grace to overcome. Say, Lord, I receive it now. Say, Lord, I receive it. From the entrance of the word. The words that have been coming for. The words I read in books. The words that I hear from authentic teachers of the word. Preachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists. I receive grace. I receive the impartation. I receive power. I receive grace. I receive grace. The grace, the grace. The spirit of David. The spirit of David. The spirit to overcome. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And I declare to you that goodness is going home with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it all the time like this, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Let me say this again. I said it earlier and I say it again. You will not die young.
Amen.
Your poverty is only transient.
Amen.
It is over already.
Amen.
The struggles of yesteryears, they are gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are an overcomer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that overcoming spirit is going to manifest in this generation in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are a savior that God has sent into this land. And you will be a creator of wealth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Not you will be. You are a creator of wealth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power to create is released in your life right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power to create, the favor, everything that you need to cause things to happen in your environment is released into you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you are releasing it into effect in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doors will open as you approach in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, don't worry. Maybe you're supposed to see somebody, go for an appointment, something. You are trying to call who? Forget it. What did I say? Forget it. Just go there. Before you get there, doors will open for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me just repeat this.